Today, are the Australian Bond vigilantes in town? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance and the Listics One, the latest post covering finance and property news. Well, unfortunately, looks to me as though households are going to get crunched again because yesterday the RBA Monetary Policy Board unanimously decided to hold rates at 3.6%, and importantly, Michelle Bullock called the end to the truncated easing cycle after delivering the 75 basis points of cuts between February and August at the press conference which followed.
So as you see, today the board decided to leave the cash rate unchanged at 3.6%. Inflation came in a bit stronger than expected in the September quarter. Some of this looked to be temporary factors, but there were signs of persistence in some items. The board discussed how much signal to take from the new monthly CPI and concluded at this early stage in the series it needs to be cautious. The board is nevertheless alert to the signs of a more broad-based pickup in inflation. The labour market has evolved broadly as expected and remains a bit tight, and the national accounts last week showed GDP growth was broadly in line with our November forecasts. That said, growth in private demand was a bit stronger than expected, largely driven by business investment. Growth in household consumption was largely as expected. The outlook for the global economy is also more balanced than earlier this year, although downside risks remain. So as you know, the board's been very cautious this year as it's eased policy. It's highlighted the possibility of upside risks in our assessments, particularly degree of tightness in the labour market. And indeed, the recent run of data suggests there may be more tightness in the economy than previously assessed. The board therefore assessed that the balance of risk to inflation had tilted a bit to the upside. This is while downside risks, particularly from overseas, seem to have abated a little bit. We've also been mindful of the timing of electricity rebates and their temporary effects on inflation data. Rebates temporarily lower headline inflation, and as they roll off, the headline inflation will move higher. The board looked through these effects when rebates were put on and is going to do so again as they come off. Before the next meeting, we will receive more data on the labour market and inflation, including quarterly trimmed mean. These will be important inputs into our updated forecasts and for the board's deliberations in February. We remain focused on returning to inflation to target while maintaining the unemployment rate as low as possible. Taking a longer view, our inflation and full employment objectives are complementary. Keeping low inflation low and stable enables strong and sustainable employment growth. So the board will be driven by what the incoming data tell us about where the economy has been and what this means for the outlook.
That was significant in that rate cuts, well, are now off the table, and it's a toss-up between an extended interest rate pause or worse, a switch to lifting rates in the light of sticky inflation.
What I would say at this point is what we know at the moment. I don't think there are interest rate cuts in the horizon for the foreseeable future. The question is it just an extended hold from here, or is it possibility of a rate rise? I couldn't put a probability on those, but I think they're the two things that the board will be looking closely at coming into the new year.
It felt like the governor was laying the markers for a full pivot towards a tightening bias, said Pat Bazzamante, a senior economist at Westpac Bank. It's a conditional tightening bias right now, conditional on the fourth quarter inflation report. Bullock said the RBA had called the economy right more recently. Some might question that, but she did concede that forecasts change and are often wrong.
Just say a couple of words about forecasts. Forecasts, we have to do them. We all have to do them. But one thing we know is that they are very uncertain. And the further out you go in your forecasts, the more uncertain they get. And you only have to look at our fan charts in our statement on monetary policy, which shows sort of the historical errors around the forecast to see that it just, they call a fan because they get bigger the further out you go. Having said that, we don't have any choice but to do it, because if we didn't do it, we would be completely backward looking, right? So, it's up to people whether they trust us, but I think we do an excellent job. The team does an excellent job of trying to distill where we are now using what we understand about the way the economy works and then trying to forecast that into what might happen in the future. Sometimes we get it wrong. I think actually in the last year or so, we've pretty much got it more or less right. So I think they've done a very good job. But it is a difficult thing. I mean, you know, 26 million people and they're all making their own decisions and you're trying to distill that into one little forecast. It's difficult. So we've got to do them. We know that they're probably going to be wrong by some margin, but the best we can do is forecast based on historical relationships as well as we can and be ready to move if things aren't turning out quite as we expected and understand why they aren't turning out as we expected.
The RBA operates under a dual mandate that aims for inflation at the midpoint of its 2 to 3% target while trying to keep the economy at maximum sustainable employment. New monthly inflation data released in late November showed that headline CPI was at 3.8%, and the bank's latest forecasts only have it returning inside the target in the middle of 2027. A report last week showed that while the economy grew at a surprisingly softer pace last quarter, labour costs remained elevated, and private data on Tuesday showed capacity utilisation in the economy edged up to 83.6%. That's the highest level in 18 months, suggesting if growth accelerates, it may further fuel price pressures. And the government this week announced that it's scrapping Powerbill rebates that have helped shield households from surging electricity prices. The policy has held down headline inflation in recent times, and its termination is set to trigger a further spike in upcoming CPI reports, though the central bank had already incorporated the change into its latest forecasts. So we can conclude the economy is heating up. Economic growth is hitting its estimated speed limit. The unemployment rate is low at 4.3%. Consumers are spending more. Home loans are flowing. House prices are rising. And inflation is peaking well above the midpoint of the Reserve Bank's 2 to 3% target range. All up, it appears the economy shows little sign that monetary policy is restraining activity currently. The board's brief statement said economic activity continues to recover. Growth in private demand has strengthened, driven by both consumption and investment. Activity and prices in the housing market are also continuing to pick up. Financial conditions have eased since the beginning of the year. Credit is readily available to both households and businesses, and the effect of earlier interest rate reductions are yet to flow through fully to demand, prices and wages. And given that the full effect of monetary policy changes take an estimated 9 to 18 months to flow through the economy, the previous three rate cuts from a peak of 4.35% will provide further stimulus in the coming months. No wonder the RBA board is now nervous. It doesn't sound like an economy that needs rate cuts, perhaps quite the opposite. Australia's economy is operating close to capacity with unemployment historically low levels and inflation back above the top of the 2 3% target, though consumers remain cautious, with real per capita GDP spending broadly flat and the savings ratio just slightly higher as households rebuild financial buffers. That makes for a challenging backdrop for setting monetary policy in 2026. We saw bond yields spiking to a 30-month high after Tuesday's RBA outing, with Australia's 10-year bond exploding to 4.81%, after sitting around 4.1% earlier in the week. Money markets are now pricing in about a 40% chance of a rate rise at the first board meeting of the year, after the December quarter inflation figures arrive on January 28th. Almost two 0.25% of a percentage point rises are priced in for 2026. At the same time, our M3 money supply has blown out to $3.3 trillion, up a massive $500 billion in just the past few years. As I've discussed before, this is thanks to a bigger public service and vacuous government promises while they're still expanding spending programs and bailing out bad decisions. Plus, exploding private sector debt, of course, as the rise in mortgage lending, especially for investors, explodes. While the RBA is too scared to admit it, federal government spending is elevated by 27% of GDP. That's the highest since the 1980s, except for the pandemic stimulus. And state governments are also adding to the public and private spending pressures. This is not good. Australia's 10-year bonds are the highest yielding in the developed world now, increasing borrowing costs for the government as it prepares to release a mid-year budget outlook next week that's set to see deficits stretching for years ahead. Over in the US, traders are ramping up bets that the Federal Reserve will deliver its third consecutive cut later today, following pressures from President Donald Trump for easier policy and the release of private data suggesting a softening jobs market. The divergence has already driven a heavy sell-off in Australian bonds, with the yield premium they hold over treasuries widening in the current quarter at the fastest pace since the early 2020s. But this rise in the 10-year yield has consequences. It's not just a financial artifact, it's the world pricing in how irresponsible and self-serving our political class has actually become. Every extra tick higher on that chart forces the taxpayers, we taxpayers, to fund even more interest payments instead of schools, hospitals, roads, or even lower taxes. So the Australian bond vigilantes are indeed back in town. If the government and the Reserve Bank can't keep the financial peace, well, maybe they can. However, we should note that the recent bond action may have been fueled by the expiry of interest rate future contracts, which are coming next week, given some traders tend to hold their positions until they mature. This is significant because, unlike elsewhere, Australian futures are settling cash, not physical bonds, which encourage more speculative trading. But the Australian dollar advanced 0.3% as money markets are already fully pricing a rate increase in May. Expect more if Fed cuts and Australia hikes. So it's clear that the RBA is anxious that the three 0.25% percentage point rate cuts February, before the election, May and August, might have made monetary policy too loose. We've got a bit of a pause now to make sure that we haven't eased a bit far, Bullock said. Asked if the RBA cut interest rates too much, Bullock was honest enough to admit that it was possible. You could read it that way, but you could go back 6 or 7 months. A lot of people were saying we needed to drop interest rates quite a lot because things were very, very soft. The board has been cautious. It doesn't sound like an economy that needs rate cuts, perhaps quite the opposite. While the recent uptake in inflation could prove temporary, there are also some added uncertainties about the veracity of the new Australian Bureau of Statistics full monthly inflation data. Bullock is clearly worried that inflation looks more permanently embedded in labour-intensive market services such as eating out, restaurants, home building and consumer durable goods. The full December quarter inflation report due in late January will be pivotal in determining if a rate hike in February comes to the table. Bullock says it's now a meeting-by-meeting proposition for the RBA if rate rises are required. Now, the Fin Review highlighted that two of Australia's top economists find themselves at different camps over the Reserve Bank's net interest rate move, as Governor Michelle Bullock's surprise hawkish shift prompted investors to boost bets on a hike as early as February. Westpac's chief economist Lucy Ellis sees room for two more cuts next year to take the cash rate down to 3.1%, while her counterpart at National Australia Bank, Sally Auld, reckons the next move is up. While they're reading the same data, they're coming to different conclusions, with the key divide being the assessment of where consumer prices are headed. It's 7 weeks until the next quarterly inflation report, which the RBA relies upon, so it will be a while until that's fully clear. The central bank's next decision is on February the 3rd. Actually, it's inevitable that Bullock and the RBA will be stuck between hawkishness and dovishness, between growth and inflation, between cuts and hikes. Bullock emphasised that the data would be everything, but data is inherently backward-looking, compounding the central bank's challenge. Bullock said the moves in Australia's yield reflects bond traders trying to predict the RBA's reaction function, but she doesn't disagree with the direction of travel because the board is worried about the upside risk to inflation on the economy that is growing either at potential, very close to it, or even a touch above. But it's worth noting the shift over this period hasn't been restricted to Australia. We've seen bond yields moving higher across the globe, particularly in Japan, but also in Britain, Germany, and in recent days, even in the US. There are some idiosyncratic factors in play around the world, including different interest rate outlooks in each of those countries. But the broad message from markets is that inflation, interest rates, and government debt will be higher for longer. Why? Well, that comes back to what billionaire investor Ray Dalio calls the New World Order, but might be better described as a doom loop. Dalio has long argued that the world has reached a critical point thanks to the collision of three big cycles. The debt money cycle has reached a tipping point because governments have taken on too much debt and investors are getting increasingly nervous about the sustainability of that debt. The domestic political cycle is finally poised because wealth inequality has led to a wicked polarization of domestic politics in most Western countries. And the geopolitical cycle is at a point where security, all its forms, particularly defense and supply chain self-resilience, matters more than economics. Every country cannot continue to accumulate the debt that they have, yet politically they can't raise taxes and they can't cut benefits, Dalio said in an interview on Monday night. So they're stuck. Stuck between right and left, between rich and poor like their central banks, between inflation and growth as policies and priorities shift. Just think of the roller coaster that we've been on this year. Do you want to bet that calms down anytime soon? The whipsawing we've seen in the past 2 months may be with us for some time. It's quite conceivable that the short, sharp RBA easing cycle that we've just been through could be followed by a hike as soon as early next year, and then something else in the second half. The domestic picture is as cloudy as the global one, meaning Bullock is right. It just gets harder. Now, it's worth noting that in 1990, Labour borrowed $100 billion, inflation went nuts, and interest rates went to 18%. Politicians blamed bond vigilantes when it was the politicians' fault, 100%. Now, imagine 18% on that $3.3 trillion of debt that we've got at the moment. That would be the equivalent of $600 billion, or over 100% of the current federal tax take. Let the bond vigilantes rip. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.